guest is Joe Nocera. And Joe and I go back to the early 80s. That's when we first met. And we had a great friendship that had an interruption and was
for about 15 years.
Yeah, about 15 years. We weren't mad at each other, though. We just didn't have any contact. But we don't want to waste your time getting into that. But then Joe and I, it was too good a friendship just to never restart. And so we did restart it, and we've been in communication for the last, 15 years?
Yep, and I've written a handful of columns around natural gas and energy issues that where you've been quoted or been part of, right?
Yes, that's right. Sure, but you didn't know anything about the business when we first met, but you know a lot about the business now. But my God, that was 30 years ago too. But you were a junior writer.
Right.
Junior, was that unfair?
No, not unfair at all. It was my first assignment at Texas Monthly. It's my first business story that I ever wrote. And just so people know, it was about your attempt to take over city service. And it was a heck of a story. It was a heck of a story.
It was new, very new to you, mm-hmm. but it was new to me too.
That's right.
It was, and I was kind of walking in the dark. And so it was an interesting story.
It was an interesting experience. Anyway, recently, Boone and I were on stage together at the Texas Tribune Festival, and we had such a good time talking. We thought maybe we would reverse roles in this podcast, and instead of Boone asking the questions. I'm going to ask most of the questions.
So. You did yesterday.
Yeah, I know I did yesterday.
Why are we reversing roles? You're getting to do it again.
I like it. It's fun.
Okay.
I'm good at asking questions.
Okay. You're just saying that it was so good yesterday,
yeah.
The way you did it. We'll put it on a podcast.
And so, we want more people to see it.
Okay.
Simple good. As that.
All right.
Good. So the first thing we talked about was energy. And we talked about the fact that the price of natural gas has gone so low, which I believe you did not predict. I think that's a fair statement.
That the
that the price of natural gas last year was heading downward?
Oh, I'd given up last year.
Okay, we don't want to talk about last year.
Oh, sure. Talk about anything you want to. But, natural gas, there is so much natural gas, it's hard to pay much for it.
Right. And what's the for the country, this is a net good, which I think a lot of people don't really focus on because they're focused on other aspects of natural gas. So talk about that.
Oh, it's fabulous for the country. I mean, you said net good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to relate this to, it made me think of it, that I've been in the cattle business a lot of times, but I had a ranch down in East Texas, and I had a cowboy down there was working for me, and boy, I tell you, they were hard to get rid of. Cattle were
the guys or the cattle.
The cattle. Okay. Boy, the price had dived, and he said, "Guys," said Mr. Peden, "said I was going in to Bogota and said I had a flat tire on my trailer, and so he said I just parked it out there, and I said, well, why in the hell didn't you change the tire out there?" I said, "You're getting ready to tell me that somebody stole your trailer," and he said, no, that's not it. I went in and I said, I jacked it up, took the tire, went, didn't have a spare, and said I went in and fixed it, came back. And he said, you know, those cattle are getting so cheap. Somebody put three calves in that trailer while I was gone. I said, he was kidding me, but that's about the way natural gas is. It's so cheap. Why, you know, there's natural gas sold for less than a dollar up in the Northeast in the Marcellus last year.
Hmm.
Less than a dollar.
But doesn't that mean that there are fewer rigs, there's the economic incentive to frack and to drill that gas has decreased? And, won't that lower the amount of gas that we have access to?
You mean because
Because the price is so low and it's not economical. Well,
but remember, it's been there for 500 million years, so it isn't going to go anyplace. So anytime you want it, you can go get it. But to show you what happened to activity for natural gas, we had 1,400 rigs drilling for natural gas 8 years ago. Today we have 80, less than 100 rigs. And nobody is crying for gas. So those 80 must be getting you enough gas to satisfy the market.
And so where else are we getting our oil and gas from besides the United States?
The United States.
Besides us.
Okay. We've got, we use more oil than any place else in the world, 20 million barrels. How does that compare to the world? The world is using 95 million barrels, but we are the largest user in the 95 million. Our next to us is China, and they're just under 11 million. So they're using half what we do. Where does that oil come from? Well, we had declined to about 4 million barrels a day 10 years ago, and then we got on to horizontal drilling and fracking, and we increased oil from 4 million barrels up to 9.6. Now, rigs again, 1,609 rigs were operating in November of 14, so 2 years ago. Now, we have 414 rigs operating. Mm-hmm. So what's happened is the 9.6 million barrels that we had reached is now 8.4. It's gone off 1,200,000. Okay, your question is, where does the oil come from?
Right.
Okay, so there's 8.4. We're using 20, and we get over 3 from Canada, 1 from Mexico, so there's 4, and that gets us up to 12, so there's 8 more to come. Actually, we are not getting from the Mideast, we're getting only about 1.2 million barrels. The rest of it is scattered, and we'll get
some. Do we need those 1.2 million barrels, or could we get it somewhere else from the Mideast?
We don't need it if we had an energy plant. Mm-hmm. You can pick up 3 million barrels real quick by switching your heavy-duty trucks over to natural gas.
Which is something you've been calling for a long time. Yeah,
about to run out of time.
But sounds to me as one of the things you seemed to be saying the other day was that we're moving in that direction, and that the carriers like UPS and FedEx are very interested in this.
Well, UPS is 100% on natural gas, and they announced that a couple of years ago. FedEx last month announced they were opening a big regional station in Oklahoma City, and were going start to go to natural gas.
And what would if trucks went to natural gas?
That'd save you 3 million barrels.
That would save you 3 million barrels.
Yeah, that's 18-wheelers. Mm-hmm. They call them Class 8 trucks. If you went from Class 5 through Class 8, you could save more than 3 million barrels of oil.
And how long have you been promoting this idea?
You laugh. You should laugh. Everybody should laugh, because in 1988, I made a speech and said, natural gas is cleaner, it's cheaper, and it's domestic. If I got that to sell, I said, if you have that to sell with, anybody can sell it. And I was asked from the audience, how long do you think it will take you to penetrate the market? And I said, I've got to be able to do it in 3 to 5 years. That was 1988. So, Joe, my direction has been good. My timing has been horrible sometimes.
Well, yes, which is almost just as bad, right, sometimes. What about, one of the reasons it's taking so long, not the only reason, is that the environmental community has come to the view that fracking is terrible for the environment, it causes earthquakes, there's methane that leaks out of the wells, the waste is, especially in the East Coast, is you can't bury the waste in the East. They cite all these problems, and they basically say we should not be fracking, and they've had an impact. maybe not the only impact, but they've had an impact. So what is your view?
Well, what are you saying when you say they had an impact? They didn't have an impact on, we built the production up from 4 million barrels to 9.6. You have more natural gas and all. Where is it the environmental has hurt?
In New York State. Take New York State, where they're actually going to build casinos that will not do very well. But that their way of employing people who are out of work is to build casinos when they could be building, where they could be drilling wells in the southern corridor of New York State. But Andrew Cuomo has outlawed it.
I know, but New York State uses natural gas.
I understand that.
They love it. But New York State doesn't have that much natural gas to, mess up the market. Right across Pennsylvania, not so, but Pennsylvania is drilling it up and creating jobs and taxes, and they have activity. The missing link in Pennsylvania is the infrastructure to transport it out.
Well, if you say the environmentalists haven't been the big difference maker, then why has it taken so long to get traction on this idea about natural gas and trucks?
I've got to clear up everything now because I won't be around very long. I'm not a very good salesman, Joe.
That's not what I hear.
Well, I didn't get out and get it sold. We were this close to having it, and it was the Natural Gas Act, and it was in, it was 5 years ago. And we voted on it, and Koch brothers killed it. They influenced the Republican vote. They didn't want it because they were in the fertilizer business, so they wanted cheap gas. They didn't want any more demand for natural gas. Didn't realize how much natural gas we had, but they were in the fertilizer business. They were in the plastic business. They imported 62,000 barrels of OPEC oil, and they I wanted to get off OPEC oil. And the fourth one was that they were one of the biggest recipients of the ethanol subsidy.
But I'm sure they would have argued at the time that they were against subsidies, and that's why they were against your thing, as a matter
of... But they were taking subsidies and ethanol. So mine did not have subsidies. It was a tax credit, which, I don't think a subsidy. But we could have done it then. It would have been unbelievable what it would have done for the country.
Do you think the country will be energy self-sufficient at some point?
They could be very quickly that if they made a North American energy alliance, which would put Canada and Mexico, United States. We're the market for their oil and gas. And the Mexicans are lagging everything. They need assistance, money, and they need technical help. And we could provide that and recover out of the increased production of oil that we did for them.
Yeah, you can't do that, though, if you're going to build a wall.
Get it in before they build a wall. They build a wall after we build.
And of course, in Canada, they have the the oil, the tar oil, which they don't like to call it that, but the tar sand oil, which would require the Keystone XL.
Do not use tar. It's oil sands.
Yeah, oil sands. Excuse me. Excuse me, Canada. Sorry.
Oil industry, too. We're not in the tar business.
So anyway, but again, sure, the environmentalists are up in arms about that. They think it's dirty oil, and they're against the Keystone pipeline, which they won on Keystone, at least so far.
Well, it passed the House and the Senate. The bill got killed by the president.
Well,
one of the things that's peculiar about the country, we don't have an energy plan. We're the only country in the world without an energy plan. And what we have is there's not anybody in government that really has the responsibility for energy. You'll say, well, the energy department. No, they had nothing to do with the pipeline coming from Canada. That was actually an issue for the State Department.
Right, right.
And then you export oil out of the country, you go to the Commerce Department.
Right. And then a lot of the oil drilling is regulated by the states.
Oh, absolutely is. Thank God it is. Yeah, the EPA looked at the fracking mm-hmm. and couldn't find anything wrong with it. And the EPA is, they look at things very close.
So let's switch a little bit here. And I want to ask you, I wrote a book about college sports and a lot of people asked me about it. You are the biggest supporter of Oklahoma State University athletics, and as you would say, academics as well. Why, at your age, does it matter?
Probably doesn't.
Okay, so.
But what doesn't matter?
OSU, supporting OSU athletics.
Why doesn't it matter?
Why does it matter to you?
Well, I wanted the school to get competitive. And we were not competitive. And Mike Holder was a golf coach when we had these conversations. He and I were very avid quail hunters. And we would come to my ranch and we would hunt quail and we'd talk about how we could make Oklahoma State competitive. And so when I made the first gift, I gave over $500 million, but the first gift was $165, which was in 2005. And at that time I said, my goal is to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we're gonna win all our games. That's unreal to think that way. But I was tired of OU beating us. We now, I think, have won 110 games. I think we won something like 20 games with OU.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I want to be competitive with OU. We have done, the program has done pretty well, but we spent a lot of money on it and all. And we brought a coach there, Mike Gundy, who was he was an OSU quarterback, was very good. He played in the backfield with Barry Sanders, and also he was taken in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Thurman Thomas.
Senior moment.
Mm-hmm.
But Thurman and Sanders both played in the backfield with Mike Gundy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and historically we would have coaches that would come springboard out to someplace else. For instance, Les Miles.
Mm-hmm.
He was there 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But Les beat OU 2 out of 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
He had the best record of any coach at Oklahoma State on beating OU. And present coach Gundy has played them 11 times and he's won 2. So we're 2-9 on Gundy's record. But Gundy has a good record with Texas. We have beaten Texas. This is a record that nobody will ever beat. That the last 4 times we played Texas in Austin, we've beaten them. And we'll get a chance to make it 5 this year. And wrong, next year. They play Stillwater this year. But next year we'll have a chance to see if we can add on to that 4 straight years. But we are not competitive with OU. And the Big 12 championship, it passes through OU almost every year. You've got to beat OU if you're going to be the Big 12 champion.
You told me once, I asked you a long time ago why you were investing in OSU sports, and your answer was, Joe, it's one thing I can try to change while I'm still alive.
I did.
And that's kind of how it's turned out.
It has.
Do you think the Big 12 needs to expand?
Probably will, and I don't care.
You don't?
No, if it was up to me, I think college football players probably play too many games. They take too many hits, and I think sometime something will be done about that, but that'll be after I'm gone. But I do the Big 12 with 10 teams.
Mm-hmm.
That looks a little bit stupid.
Well, you got the Big Ten with 14 teams, so
I know
it's kind of the way it is.
But that was the name, and they hate to change it.
Right.
Okay, so the Big 12 has 10 teams. So we play 9 conference games a year. We know who's the best.
Right.
Okay. Now, you have Big 12, SEC. They're broken in, you know, divisions, east, west, north, south. And they have a championship game. And they, trying to convince me, they said, we need to have a championship game. I said, we do have.
Yeah.
It's at the end of the year, you know who won.
But they, you know, the real argument is that it'll be easier. It's easier to get into the college playoffs.
Oh, sure.
If you have a if you have a championship game.
I understand. I've talked to Bob Bowlesby, the big
the commissioner,
our commissioner, and he says, you know, probably going to have to do it. Okay, do it. I don't give a damn. Hell, it didn't. I've got people call me, want me, Fred Smith. I tried to get Memphis considered. Uh-huh. And Fred wants to get
sure.
And then I've got Corby.
Well, the other day I the president of the University of Houston came up to talk to you.
Well, I was with her.
I mean, but that was really, you know, she wants Houston to be in the Big 12.
And
by
it's
God.
Fine with me. I don't give a damn. And SMU, their president called me. They think I may have some influence. I don't have any influence. I did help TCU get in.
Doesn't sound like you have no influence.
Well, they won't, you know, say, can we say you're for us? I said, sure, say I'm for you. So,
on that note, our esteemed producer is telling us we should wrap it up. So, Boone, this was a pleasure. Always fun talking to you. Always fun seeing you. And
you know, this may be a record podcast.
Why is
that? You know, we have millions watch it. Do we? No, maybe not millions. Hundreds.
Hundreds. Thank you very much.
Okay. Joey, it was good. Thank you.